Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hey parents, welcome to another edition of The Wonder of Parenting. My name is Tim Wright, along with my good friend Dr. Michael Gurian. And let us say, first of all, how honored we are to have you listening to us today, and we've been thrilled with the response to the podcast so far, with so many of you listening, and we hope you're enjoying what you're hearing and learning a lot. And today we're going to turn to a really important topic for you if you're a parent of particularly boys, but girls as well, and that's video games and your child's brain. Now, Michael and I, this is going to date us, we come from an era where video games were nothing like they are today. Michael, for me, I remember playing Space Invaders. How about you?
Yeah, I do remember Space Invaders and also Asteroid. Those are the two I remember.
Yes, Asteroid. I remember that one. Of course, in those days, you had to go somewhere to play those games, whether it was an arcade or a mall or a pizza place. The first home game, I believe, was a Commodore 64 or something like that, and the game was Pong. And that thing was huge back in our day because we'd never seen anything like it. And all it was a black and white screen with one side was a white stick, which served as the paddle, on the other side the same. And so you and a buddy would control the paddle, and then a nice white square ball, so to speak, would go back and forth, and you'd play ping pong, and the speed of the game would pick up. And I remember Saturday Night Live doing something on that, where guys were playing Pong and just having conversation, because such was such a big deal.
Yeah.
I never owned one, but I believe the first one that I really saw was Jan's brother had one when Jan and I were dating all those years ago. So video games have changed dramatically since that time. My son grew up with Atari and Nintendo and Xbox. For a while, he was creating Facebook games. My grandsons and granddaughters are living in an even different world. I went over to my grandson's house yesterday, and my four-year-old grandson, Decker, said, "Grandpa, can we play video games?" And he went and turned on everything, got it all set up, and he asked me a question or two, and I couldn't answer him because I had no idea how those things work. So even though video games are a little bit beyond where I'm at, we do have some things to say about video games, and Michael in particular, based on his years looking at how the brain works. So Michael, just to get us started, tell us a little bit about two resources that you have where you talk extensively about screen time, video games, and our children.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. The Minds of Girls has a lot in it, a whole chapter on digital life and sort of looking at digital life stage by stage, depending on developmentally how old the child is, and then Saving Our Sons. And that has a lot on video games, and it's also age by age, because the key concept to all of this, I think, is the developmental concept. How old is that brain? How mature is that brain? What are the stages that brain is going through if we're going to give it a lot of exposure to video games? When does that become, you know, healthy, and when is it not as healthy?
So let's kind of summarize a little bit. And of course, this is a big question when we're summarizing, but what are some of the things that screen time, generally speaking, does to the brain? How does the brain and screen time interact?
Well, screen time in general obviously has a positive effect on the brain in that you learn more educationally. One is learning more because one is learning through the screen, all sorts of stuff. So that's the first positive. And it's filling the mind, basically, with all sorts of information and knowledge. Now, the what it does in the brain is it excites certain centers of the brain. And it actually devalues, does not excite certain other centers. And so we've talked about, and we'll probably talk again, about how screen time is passive. So, and the brain, especially in the younger years, the brain is an active learner. And so in order to close synapses, build pathways, complete pathways, we actually need to emphasize more active learning. And the more time that the brain spends on a screen, the more it's passive. And surprisingly, video games, you know, would fit in that category. People would say, well, wait a minute, you know, the kid sure looks pretty active when he's playing a video game. And he is. But we mean something a little different. What we mean is that whole brain, it's not actually working actively. Certain centers are working. Obviously, the eye-hand coordination, right? If he's moving something, that's working. And then the visual cortex is working. And so there are certain things working. But he's not actually going to imprint and build pathways as much as if he were out riding a horse, you know, to give an example, or if he were out doing yard work, or if he were doing something that was using the whole body that was more active. So that's something to consider when we think about screens. Even if the kid looks like he's really active, it may not actually be building pathways like we would like it to.
So let me back that up just a little bit. John Gray, who, do you know him personally?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. We blurbed each other's books. He's a good man.
Yeah, so he's best known for his book, Men Are from Venus, Women from Mars, or
Vice versa.
Men Are from Mars, Women Venus, whatever it is.
Right, yeah.
And he wrote a huge section in your friend Warren Farrell's book on the boy crisis. And what his main purpose was in that part of the book was to talk about ADHD. And he was looking at the various aspects of that. And he looks at it from the perspective of dopamine in the brain. And so before I dive into some of that, because I know you talk about that as well, just give us a little sense of what dopamine does in the brain.
Yeah, and that's especially important for video games, and it's especially important for social media, so smartphones, et cetera. So dopamine is the reward chemical, and there are a number of centers that control that and activate, like the caudate nucleus, the nucleus accumbens, ventral striatum. These are parts of the brain that are involved in the release of dopamine, the control of dopamine. And what the brain loves to get the rushes of dopamine. All of our brains do. That's part of how we... in fact, to a great extent, that's how we live our lives. We try to do the things that bring dopamine rushes, which is pleasure. We try to avoid things that bring pain. And video games and screens, they release a lot of dopamine in specific situations. And for video games, that dopamine release, that constant dopamine release, is actually fooling the brain. And I don't know if you want me to talk about this yet.
Yes, please do.
Okay. Yep. So that is actually fooling the brain. So, for instance, and this is not an anti-video games thing. You know, neither you nor I are anti-video games. It's not about that. But it's about the brain developmentally. And let's take a 15-year-old boy. This 15-year-old boy, if he's playing an hour of video games, let's say on a school night, for that hour, his brain is fooled into thinking it has accomplished an incredible amount. Because every time he moves to a different level, every time he succeeds in any way, and any time he laughs because something happens, or his friend, if they're playing interactively, you know, they're laughing. That whole thing, every one of those times, he gets a dopamine hit, and his brain for that hour feels like it has accomplished a lot. It's done an amazing job, but actually he hasn't accomplished anything. So then, if you take that hour and you say to yourself, well, what if he had spent that hour, you know, and then fill in the blank doing A, B, C, D, whether it was homework, whether it was helping the family, whether it was working, whether it was visiting a nursing home, you know, you could list a billion things. those actually would. They'd give a dopamine rush. They wouldn't give as many, but they would give a dopamine rush. They feel good, and they are actual accomplishments. So I think the reason that video games and dopamine is such a big deal is we just want to make sure that parents understand, and then the kids as they get older, that the video games are set up to addictively attract the dopamine release, and it's actually fooling the kid. So it's fine to play some video games, but I would beg people to watch for video games on weeknights, because that's when we really want kids to be accomplishing a lot.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And I think John Gray is making that exact argument. And part of what he's saying is that when kids are playing too much of a video game, it increases the dopamine levels, so they do feel like they're accomplishing, and it's much more pleasurable than trying to accomplish the things that really matter in life.
Exactly.
So it's a lot more pleasurable to play a video game for an hour than to do homework or to do chores or maybe to go out for a jog, although the jogging can be a dopamine stimulant as well. And so his concern, his argument is that while video games can do some good things, we really have to be careful about the negative consequences. And I think he even draws the conclusion. In fact, let me state this. He's talking about how there's research that says that video games can be good for you. There are increasingly TED Talks and so on that say if you play video games, you can make decisions 25% faster, and your cognitive abilities can grow. And he says, while all this sounds amazing, anyone who takes a stimulant drug like cocaine or speed will experience the same thing.
Oh,
improved
yeah.
memory, creativity, faster decision-making abilities. So he's almost comparing, and I think you have as well, that video games can have a similar impact on our lives as cocaine.
Well, yeah, it shows up similarly in the brain, and that's why we're all kind of worried about it. And at the same time, yes, there are actually a certain kind of ADD where clinicians will have kids play video games. So there are ways it can help, you know, with certain brain function, and if you have a certain brain anomaly, it can help. And so you can make the case. There are certain things you have to be really specific and do the research, but there are certain things where you can make the case. Hey, if my son plays these video games for this half hour, that might help him with blank. And so we don't want to say that's 100% incorrect. There's an argument to be made there. It's just got to be really specific about what we're specifically getting at. On the whole, however, video games do have the effect of fooling the brain, and so then the brain does not want to do other things. And so when people now are, of course, AMA has said it's addictive. So when we now look at it clinically and say, hey, look, this can become an addiction, that's what you're referring to. And that's absolutely true. And it will light up addiction centers in the brain if the guy has become addicted. And I say guy because it's mainly guys who play video games of the kind we're discussing. But some girls do too. So we don't want to leave girls out. But I think most of the questions that come to us are from parents of boys. And even there is a beautiful comparison. Even when you compare what happens to the brains of girls and boys when they play video games, their brains are so compartmentalized and gray matter oriented that they have fewer fail safes than girls do to avoid the addictive quality of the dopamine release. So even there's a sex comparison, sex on the brain comparison. And it's one of the reasons we get most of the questions from parents of boys, because they know their daughters are playing. They can see them playing video games, but they're not seeing as much of this scary addictiveness or the lack of purpose that happens in a boy's life. He stops doing homework. He stops doing other things. He stops relating to people. That's more something you're going to see with guys, because once that compartment is, you know, once they're focused on that compartment and the addictive quality of the dopamine release, that's kind of what they want to do. And that's a real life ruiner.
So you're listening to The Wonder of Parenting. My name is Tim Wright, along with Dr. Michael Gurian. And if you want to know more about the work that Michael does or that I'm doing with boys and girls, you can head over to our website, wonderofparenting.com. wonderofparenting.com, and there you'll find all the links that you need to be able to subscribe to this podcast, and we hope that you'll do that. Hope that you'll tell your friends about it, and if you enjoy the podcast, maybe give us a nice rating. We'd appreciate that as well. And also then on that website, wonderofparenting.com, there are some links to Michael's books that he's talked about. There's a link to my website and some of the products that Michael and I have created for you to help you raise heroic boys and wise girls. And so that's all on the wonderofparenting.com, and we encourage you to stop by there. So, Michael, I just want to pick up on this. John Gray here says that says the same thing. A recent brain imaging study by researchers at Stanford School of Medicine suggests that boys are more vulnerable than girls to video game addiction. Up to 90% of American youth play video games, and as many as 31%, more than 5 million kids, may be addicted. Boys are three times more likely than girls to be addicted to video games. And when he's talking about addicted now, we're not just saying they like them a lot. We're talking clinically, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there's that whole other gray area where it's, we wouldn't call it clinical addiction, but we've got millions of boys in that gray area. But in terms of addiction, yes, that's its own clinical term. And we're, what we would be talking about is a boy who now, who for whom it is like cocaine or heroin or something else, where really his whole life's about that. And he has given up most of his primary relationships, or they're faltering. He probably, in the end, won't be able to hold a job. He, you know, that's the kind of addiction there. And that's already in the millions. And then there's the gray area that we wouldn't clinically call addiction, but that I think a lot of parents are worried about, where the child is playing an hour and a half or 2 hours on a school night, and so therefore is not doing all this other stuff. But he's getting C's, you know. We probably wouldn't say he's addicted, but he sure feels like he's addicted, and that's right. Its own category.
And parents are having to navigate this all the time. It is so easy. I know that even with my grandkids, we haven't seen them all week, and the first thing they want to do is play iPad. And it's, how about if we say hi to Grandpa? How about if we say hi to Grandma, and let's play some games? And I want to get here to violent video games in a moment, but I want to reiterate a little bit what you've been saying. And through the words of John Gray here, again, he says that there are increasingly studies that say that video games can be good for you. But he says, you know, playing a video game improves hand-eye coordination, but so does throwing a ball, and it doesn't have the side effects. Video games change your brain, sometimes in positive ways, but so does reading and playing piano, listening to music. And none of the side effects. And so while there may be some positive to video games, there are some very serious side effects that we're trying to point out to parents. And then we'll get practical on how to navigate the world of video games. So having said that, let's turn to violent video games. I think parents are concerned about video games in general, but really concerned about violent video games. And let's start with the question everyone's asking. Do violent video games make violent boys?
Yeah, it's a great question. Okay, before I answer it, I need to back up.
Okay.
Because a couple things, you said a couple things there. I just need to back up and say something. One thing is that I totally understand John's position, and to some extent it's my position, but at the same time, I'm a little more moderate in my approach to video games, simply because around 90% of kids are playing them. And it's so hard for us to say to families or to children, hey, look, you know, you really ought not play them. That's why I take a developmental approach. What's the age group rather than just a blanket approach like he does? We need to take a developmental approach because it's just unlikely that any parent is or that most parents are going to not have their kids play video games.
Right. Yeah. And he does that too. He says, 30 minutes an hour a day max.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Good. Okay. Great.
Which is what we'll talk about when we talk about navigating video games.
Yeah, I would hate for us to be. And then the second thing to say is when we're talking about video games now, interestingly, there's nuance because Minecraft is an example of a video game that goes beyond kind of what we're talking about here. Minecraft has actually attempted and succeeded in some ways in creating an active universe. Hmm. So in activating more of the brain than, and I'll segue to the violent video games that you were asking about, more than, say, the violent video games, which have a quest plot, a heroic plot in them, but right. are mainly about, they're mainly kind of heroic literature where the hero is taking on evil and evil has many permutations, and the hero has his team with him, or he's alone, and he's taking on evil. Now, that in itself is heroic, and it's interesting. I want to talk about it. But for the brain, Minecraft is actually doing more than Assassin's Creed or something like that, Call of Duty. It's doing more because Minecraft has you building things, and so that's a distinction I just wanted to make.
Yes.
When we say video games. We are making a distinction between the various kinds.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So in terms of violent video games, like I was just saying, they have this. It's a heroic quest, and that in itself is a good thing. And they are kind of the equivalent of those violent fairy tales that were told to kids 300 years ago, which were very violent, in which the hero, saved the world. These are quite similar. They just happen to be in a visual spatial modality rather than a reading modality. And they are trying to create identification with heroes and teach good versus evil and basic morality. And obviously, they're a heck of a lot of fun. And you feel a lot of success vanquishing evil. So they are here to stay, and we have to, I think, make the most of them. And so my call to people is to, before we get to the developmental, it's just to always be cognizant with your kids and be talking to kids about what they're getting in the video game. And so like a lot of dads will play video games with their sons. Okay, great. It's great bonding. Make sure to be talking about what are the rules of honor here? What's the code of conduct? What are we learning about empathy? What are we learning about self? To really have a conversation with their boys and girls about this so that it becomes conscious and becomes part of character development. And because video games can be a good part of character development. They're already heroic quests. But I think we have to make it conscious with these guys. And then also, there are some video games that, as you know, I think we should not be playing, which are like Grand Theft Auto. Those kinds of video games are so misogynistic that I find them reprehensible, and I would love us to be conscious with our kids, and if they are going to play that, really talk to them about what misogyny is and how we treat women and how they're depicted, because one of the biggest negatives of prolonged video game use for males is that they don't mature as adults, and they're not able to hold relationships. Mm. So that's just something, especially the guys who are addicted. And then in terms of does it cause violence? No. Video games cannot themselves cause violence. That's a mythology the same way that we used to say, and no one does anymore, but we used to say if a girl looks at an image in a magazine of a thin woman, she will become anorexic. The image of the thin woman cannot cause her to become anorexic. So violence is a disease in the same way that anorexia is a disease. And there are causes for that disease, and video games are not the cause. But people can use the video game and decide, once they have decided to become violent, they can dress themselves up like that video game and try to replay it, because, of course, they're using that imaginative tool for their disease. But no, the video game will not cause the violence.
So let's talk practically then for parents on how to help them navigate the world of video games. And I know, again, in your books, The Minds of Boys, or Saving Our Sons and The Minds of Girls, you talk developmentally about, you know, how much time for each age of life. So we're going to broaden out to be a bit more generic, I guess. But I seem to hear you say, and I think I was reading that with John Gray too, that we need to not ban video games, but certainly limit the amount of time that kids are playing them. So what would be some general guidelines that you would give for parents throughout the week?
Yeah. So absolutely. We have to practice with video games the way we would practice anything else as a parent. It is a form of a stranger coming into our home, right? We would control how long that stranger, let's say, is in our home. It is a form of brain use, and it is our job as parents to control how our kids use their brains, because we want them to develop well. And we got to see video games as just like that. We wouldn't feed our kids junk food for every meal, you know? We wouldn't do that because it's bad for them. Video games similarly. So the most important thing is to be developmental. And I beg parents, if they hear someone say, okay, video games are this or video games are that, for parents to step back and go, okay, let me listen to that. But what age are y'all talking about? Like, you know, are you talking about 12-year-olds? Are you talking about 2-year-olds? That's the key thing. And so, as you said, those two books do more than I can do in short space here. They lay it all out, birth to 2, 2 to 4, 4 to 6. But let me give a few broad strokes. Like, for instance, in the first 5 years of life, there's so much brain development going on. I would limit screen time and limit video games to very little. And make sure that brain is being active. That's obviously especially true birth to two. Birth to two, we want almost no screens for kids anyway. Birth to two, a half hour of slow-moving images on a TV program, okay. But birth to two, we want to keep... Oh, and talking to grandma or grandpa via FaceTime. Okay, that's a good use of screen time, birth to two. But otherwise, very little. 2 to 5... you know, we don't want to be giving smartphones to the kids where they can play the video games. We don't want to be giving them pads where they can play the games. If someone's going to do it, like make it a treat for a few minutes on the weekend or something like that. But we just don't want those brains getting addicted already to the screens and to the video games. That's going to impede their brain development. On its face at the baseline, and it's also going to impede their brain development at 12 and 15, because they're gonna at 4 they're gonna already be wanting to play the game. Because we gotta remember, screens are so stimulating and video games are so stimulating, so they get the brain stimulated, and the brain always wants that stimulation, which is an inadequate stimulation. And then if we go to 5 to 7, 5 to 8, now, okay, folks are going to probably add in some video games. And now we need to add it in thinking about how much other screen time they have. So let's say an 8-year-old is doing an hour of video games on a Saturday. I think that would be pretty normal for a lot of 8-year-olds today. And we got to look at, okay, is he spending, 2 hours on another screen, set of screens, a pad inside a computer. Okay, now we're into 3-4 hours. That's too much in front of a screen for an 8-year-old to be sure that he's getting good brain development. And then in 10 to 12, we want to look carefully at pruning. And actually from around 9 to 13, but 10 to 12 is a big time. We want to make sure the kid is, like, for instance, I would still not do any video games for a 12-year-old on a school night, because the brain is going to prune in that time frame. It prunes the cells it doesn't use. It has to because it has too many. So it prunes those out, and it keeps the cells it uses. So if the kid's playing video games an hour, an hour and a half, it keeps those cells. And video game cells are pretty worthless in life, even though it's very entertaining. They're not cells the brain really needs to mature, to survive, to thrive, to raise a family, you know, to be successful later. We don't really need those cells. Good entertainment, don't need those cells. We want to actually prune away some of those cells and keep, you know, the cells that are going to be more useful for surviving and thriving. So that's a few highlights, but basically it's laid out in The Minds of Girls and in Saving Our Sons.
And you would also then recommend that parents be very aware of the content of the games.
Oh, yeah. Talk about the content and et cetera. Yeah, I mean, like everything from Grand Theft Auto to the violence to the way women are treated. All of that, just like if they read a book, just like if they went to school, you know, we should be talking to them about all this stuff. And I like to see video games put in the context of character development. And I have a big section in Saving Our Sons where I help, it has a bunch of these tools parents can use to help them take a game with their son, talk with their son about it, and make it into character development. Because I think that's a great use of video games.
And to go back to what we were talking about earlier on with dopamine, the video games play with dopamine in a different way, bring a lot of pleasure, which can make it harder than to find pleasure in the normal everyday things. So when we can prioritize what's important and video games become the ice cream, the dessert, rather than the main course, our kids are going to be better off. It sounds to me that's what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Well said.
And just to use an analogy from my life, I'm 60 years old, so I really try to eat healthy. But I'm always craving a Big Mac or a Whopper because that's what I kind of grew up with as a kid. But if I ate that all the time, I wouldn't find myself going back to the healthy stuff because that doesn't seem to do the dopamine as well for me until I've been doing it for a while. So video games should be dessert, not the main course. And in our Wonder of Parenting podcast, episode 9 and 10, we talk more about screen time. So I think all three of these episodes together would be good to listen to. So parents, we want to thank you. You can learn more about us on wonderofparenting.com. Links there so that you can subscribe to these podcasts. Also links to the work that Michael is doing, the work that I'm doing. And Michael, thank you so much for your great insights today.
Oh, thanks, Tim. Thanks for doing this.
And thank you, parents, for listening. We look forward to being with you again next week. We drop every Monday. Next one's coming up on the following Monday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.